Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Looking forward to today's show as we talk with our guest Dave Iverson about his book, Winter Stars, An Elderly Mother, An Aging Son, and Life's Final Journey. It's a fascinating book, and I know you're going to enjoy hearing him talk, and I know you will also enjoy hearing Kate Archer-Kent speak as well. She joins me. Hi, Kate.
Hi, Larry. I'm so glad to be here.
Oh, well, it's great to have you here during our spring member drive. Kate and I are here today to raise the money that pays for the programs you enjoy, programs like the Larry Mueller Show. And don't you know, support from people like you is the largest source of funding for these programs that you value. And that's why your support at WPR.org, go there, WPR.org, or at 888-202-2552. It's so important. And how are we doing?
Well, here's the deal, Larry. Last hour, we heard from 13 new and returning members. Thank you for those gifts. And today only, become a WPR sustainer or increase your ongoing monthly gift. And the first year of your contributions will be matched by a group of very generous members.
Kind of their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. You can double your support for the programs you love when you become a sustainer or you increase your monthly gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And a large slice of funding for WPR programs. The biggest slice is actually listener support. So while all of the other funding streams, state, federal, government, businesses, super important, of course, it is your contribution that makes a huge difference. WPR is the amazing and varied service that it is thanks to your support. So keep independent, high-quality programs, these talk conversations like the Larry Mueller Show on the air when you give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, I hope you think of Wisconsin Public Radio as really your radio station. Maybe it's the one that wakes you up in the morning. Maybe it rides with you on your commute, keeps you company all day long. That would be wonderful.
That indeed would. Your true north. And the beauty of WPR is that you get to decide how much to pay for the programs you enjoy. And many first-time donors give $100 or $10 a month. You pick the amount that's right for you.
Your gift, along with donations from other listeners, add up to WPR's largest source of funding, of course. And I hope you'll join the team right now. Make your gift at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
Public radio has enriched my life in so many ways. When I was a new mother back in the 1990s, and I became hooked on Wisconsin Public Radio. I've been an avid listener, and each day of my life has enriched because of the depth of the topics offered, the balanced dialogue that the hosts and the guests both offer. The Ideas Network makes me a better mother and a better citizen, and I'm so thankful for it.
Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you count on. Larry Mueller here with Kate Archer-Kent. Your support today of Wisconsin Public Radio keeps all the programs you enjoy going strong. And your contribution, maybe it's $10 a month, maybe it's $100 a month. Whatever it is, we appreciate it and we count on your gift.
And giving to WPR, super easy. All we need is your name, your contact information, the amount of your gift, and how you'd like to pay.
Takes a couple of minutes to make your contribution to WPR, and those few minutes fund your daily listening. So your support right now can really make a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Oh, and take advantage of this sustaining match still in effect and this group of generous members matching up to $50,000 of monthly gifts. It's fabulous. So become a sustainer or increase your ongoing monthly donation right now, and your first year of contributions will be matched. This is amazing. Double the impact of your sustaining gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Kate, I bet you didn't know this, but there are a bunch of thank you gifts. If a person gives $10 or $20 a month, you can choose from a catalog of very, well, it's a small catalog, but it's a catalog nevertheless. Everything from, what do we got? We have apparel. I think there's a long sleeve T-shirt.
Yep,
there's drinkware.
Yep.
You're going to show off your WPR pride wherever you go. I've got so much WPR. I usually wear my WPR cap when I'm, when I'm on the air. But with Dave Iverson here today, I thought, oh, I want to look a little nicer.
A little
so
more
I
put
dressed
together.
Up a bit. Anyway, you can read all about it or learn all about it in terms of those gifts and what's available for either $10 or $20. Some really cool stuff, actually. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And I want to just give a shout out to Lily in Williams Bay, who says, I appreciate the thought-provoking, credible discussions. Nancy in Dodgeville weighing in says, through the years, WPR has always been there with information, with laughs, and respect for its listeners.
Your gift, very powerful, really makes a difference. Just do it right now. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Make your contributions, and thank you very much. But also stay listening, because Dave Iverson has joined us. Kate will be back later, but right now we want to talk with Dave. Dave is a... Oh, man, he's done so many things. He's a writer, a documentary film producer and director. He's a retired broadcast journalist. He's currently a contributing editor at the Michael J. Fox Foundation for Parkinson's Research. And he's got this new wonderful book out. Really made me think. And I enjoyed reading it very much. It's called Winter Stars. That's the main title. And then the subtitle is An Elderly Mother, An Aging Son, and Life's Final Journey. Maybe you're a caregiver for a family member. What's that experience been like? Love to have you part of the conversation. You can join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or you can send an email to ideas@WPR.org. ideas@WPR.org. Dave Iverson, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Thank you, Larry. It's a great pleasure to be with you as well.
It's been a long time since I've seen your face. You were here for what, 20 years at Wisconsin Public Media?
I was. I arrived in the fall of 1979 and left in the spring of 2001. So over 20 years. Almost all on the television side, though. When I came out to the Bay Area, I moved over to the radio side on KQED, so in San Francisco. So be careful. I may sort of inadvertently give out the KQED pledge number instead. So.
Okay. Well, this book is a fascinating book, but maybe just give a general description of the book to start.
Sure. I was... At the age of 59, I was working here in the San Francisco Bay Area, both at the NPR affiliate in San Francisco and also producing a documentary, a film. And my elderly mom was living in Menlo Park, California, which is about 30 miles south of San Francisco at the time. And she'd lived independently since my father had passed away for many years, and she was 95 at the time. Then she got a bad case of pneumonia, and it became clear that she could no longer really live on her own. And without, you know, this seems sort of mind-boggling in a way, Larry, but at the time, I didn't really have to think about it a lot. I just felt like, well, I can do this. My mom and I are close. I live nearby, my career is full, but it's flexible. I'm at a point where I really have some flexibility in my life. I'll just move down to my boyhood home and move in and be help. Not knowing, of course, all that I was in for, which in some ways is good, because I think if you know what you're in for, sometimes you may not do what you need to do. And so with that, at the age of 59, I moved back into my childhood home, was fortunate enough to have daytime caregiving help, so I could continue to work. But nights and weekends were on me. And so began what turned out to be not a short-term assignment, but a a 10-year caregiving odyssey because my mom lived to the age of 105.
Yeah, it is quite a story, and the book sort of recounts that, but goes back and fills us in on family details, which I think are really interesting and important for the book, to be honest. And your mom was such a force to be reckoned with. Maybe tell us a little about her earlier life before this all happened.
Sure. Yeah, no, she, a force of nature was the most common description of my mom. She was the kind of person, Larry, who would get up in the morning and think, all right, well, what can I get done today? And that never changed. It didn't matter whether she was in her, early in life or late in life. She continued that sort of engagement, I guess you would say, you know, like many women of her generation. She only worked until she got worked outside the home, that is, until she got married, which was during World War II, and my dad was in the army. But after that, she was so engaged in community activity. She was a passionate community volunteer, whether that was for the League of Women Voters, which was a great cause of hers, tutoring women at the county jail, helping to start a children's center for kids with special needs. And she was a passionate sports fan. And she just was someone who always wanted to get things done. She was this no-nonsense, kind of all-business person. But in the end, her business was us, you know? Yeah. Her business was the community. Her business was her family, but also really the community at large. It was a really special trait of hers.
And the sports was, it was interesting to me because I'm remembering my mother, who was kind of a lot like your mother, except my mother was never a big sports nut. Yeah. She'd come watch me play, but not like your mother, who was a Stanford Cardinal through and through. And your dad was a professor there, and
he was, and I was fortunate enough to go to school there as an undergrad, but my mom was really the one who loved Stanford most. I mean, she was really, you know, she sort of, you know, bled cardinal red. I mean, she really cared about that. And they took us to games when we were kids. They started going to games in the late 1940s when my dad joined the Stanford faculty and never stopped, you know, even when my dad had Parkinson's sort of late in life. You know, they went to games anyway, which was really one of my first great lessons in caregiving and in living with Parkinson's, because my mom's attitude and my dad sort of, you know, I didn't have much choice, was to keep moving, to keep engaged, that if something is being taken from you in the way of a condition like Parkinson's, well, then the response is to keep doing stuff, to keep adding things back into your life. And one of those was definitely going to Stanford games. And that was something we continued. After I moved in with her, we kept going to games. We kept going all the way into her early 100s. And I will tell you, Larry, there's nothing quite like going to a college football game and sitting next to someone who's, a centenarian who's saying, get that guy, tackle him, tackle him. You know, it was pretty remarkable.
Oh, man. Dave Iverson, our guest today, he is the author of the book Winter Stars, An Elderly Mother and Aging Son and Life's Final Journey. I hope you have a chance to get a look at it and read it. And you know what? I also hope you have a chance to contribute during our spring member drive. I see Kate Archer Kent's smiling face.
I popped right back in. It's just magic, Larry.
She magically has appeared. She wants to tell you that you should remember that you count on us, the Ideas Network, for great discussions like the one we're having here with Dave Iverson. As your gift, any amount that makes these discussions possible. You're the largest source of funding for our shows, and that's why your support at wpr.org or at 888-202-2552 is so important.
And today is so important to support the programs you rely on, and your gift is going to go twice as far. Become a WPR sustainer or increase your ongoing monthly support, and this group of generous members will match your first year of contributions.
So you can double your impact, join in with our with your new or increased monthly contribution. And how do you do that? You go to WPR.org or you phone 888-202-2552.
Well, let's take stock. On WPR, you get fact-based news, you get the high-quality entertainment, the informative talk conversations that take us to new places, and then, of course, the music, great music. You get this rich experience no matter when you tune in.
And this depth and breadth is possible thanks to you and other listener contributions. So make yours right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
It is easy to support Wisconsin Public Radio, and really the easiest way is to become a sustainer. You'll make ongoing monthly gifts from your bank account or a credit card or debit card.
And some people give $10 a month. I know a lot of people give $15, $20 a month, and many even more than that. But pick an amount that works for you. That's the important thing. Become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And then you can sit back and enjoy the ease and convenience of supporting the programs you value.
What are some things you like to double?
Double fun, double cheese.
I love a double shot espresso latte.
Well, if one's good, two's got to be better. Whether it's a double cheeseburger or a double stuffed Oreo, they're twice as good as the original.
I like to double dip cookies in coffee.
My donation to WPR, that's probably the best thing to double.
Today, the match is on. Double your support for the programs you love when you become a sustainer or increase your current monthly gift. Your first year of contributions will be matched by a group of generous members. It's their way of encouraging you to sustain the news, talk, and music we all rely on. So join now. Here's how.
Give at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. Larry Mueller here with Kate Archer-Kent. Listener support, biggest source of funding for our programs, and that's why your support is so important during this drive. And your gift could be $10 a month, $15, $20, $100, whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
Indeed it is. And today, a group of generous members will match up to $50,000 of monthly gifts. So become a sustainer or increase your ongoing monthly gift right now, and your first year of contributions, it will be matched.
Their way of inspiring you to sustain the WPR news talk and music that we all rely on, frankly. You can double that impact of your monthly gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And you know, you love WPR because it's your source for intelligent radio, and there are costs associated with this quality, and that is where you come in. Your support is so important.
And it's really quick. It's really easy to make a gift. You'll be finished in no time at all. And your contribution, any amount, $10 or $20, let's say, a month, at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 makes WPR possible, frankly.
Might I add that sustaining match is in effect. And today, this group of generous members matching up to $50,000 of monthly gifts. So become a sustainer or increase your ongoing monthly gift right now, and your first year of contributions will be matched. So double the impact of your sustaining gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And don't forget, you can ask for one of those thank you gifts from WPR when you give $10 or $20 a month. We've got everything from apparel to drinkware to let the world know WPR is your source of information. Take a look. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and maybe ask for your T-shirt.
Oh, Louise in Wauwatosa has something for you, Larry. Appreciate you, Louise says. Appreciates Larry and every guest who gives interesting and reliable information. Peggy in La Crosse joined in, says, thank you for keeping me informed and entertained every day.
Well, Louise and Peggy, thank you both very much. I appreciate that. They're supporting. What about you? Your gift right now is so important at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And thank you. Thanks so much for joining us here on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller and really pleased to have Dave Iverson as my guest today. His book is titled Winter Stars, An Elderly Mother, An Aging Son, and Life's Final Journey. He was 59 years old when he moved in to help his mom out and was be the caregiver for his mother, really the major, the main caregiver. And she was 105. She was, I believe, 100.
105 when she passed away, Larry.
105 right. when she yeah. passed away, but she was 100 when you joined her, right?
Actually, a little younger. So I was with her a full 10 years. So yeah.
What am I thinking here? Yeah, it's not. She was 95.
Right. Right.
Yeah, and she was. She was really interesting, and you make her so interesting. She was still driving well, doing a good job when she was 90, but then she decided to cut her driver's license up, which is usually the opposite of what most people want at that age.
She was a really interesting combination of characteristics, I think, Larry, and in some ways that actually made my task as a caregiver easier in the sense that she was fiercely independent, but she also had this awareness of things like, well, I've been a good driver, but I'm 90, I'm gonna quit while I'm ahead, but that's not gonna stop me from doing what I need to do. So she budgeted $200 a month so she could take cabs to go to see her friends in the community. She would, one of her volunteer activities was to read to people who could no longer see well. So she would take a cab out to the campus, Stanford campus, where some of her old friends lived and read to them. She was always one who was concerned about what she could do as opposed to how she did it. So for her, getting help was a means to an end. And it was similar to that, actually, when I moved in with her. Rather than resenting the fact that she get help, as I think often is the case, she welcomed it. It was like, well, if there are people here during the day who can take care of me and get me to the grocery store, that's great. If my son wants to move in with me, well, why not? Why shouldn't he? You know, she really had this very, it was like she welcomed in a sense a kind of a supporting cast, because what she cared about was being able to continue with her life, not the means by which that assistance took place.
And your family members certainly were, I mean, your brothers were supportive of this. I know from reading your book.
Yeah, no, very much so. It was, you know, I think we all know in families that if there is an aging parent who needs help and there are four siblings and those siblings are three boys and one girl, I think we know where we'd place our bets in terms of who would likely be the caregiver. I mean, we just have to acknowledge that gender roles often play a significant role in this. In my family, there wasn't a gender option because I had two brothers. But I was the one who could, you know. My brothers were both dealing with health issues of their own. One lived far from the San Francisco Bay Area. But that didn't mean they weren't engaged. That didn't mean they weren't supportive. And their appreciation for what I was trying to do meant a great deal to me. And that's something that can get tricky sometimes, I think, in these circumstances about who's going to do what. And I think the other thing I'd say about that, Larry, that in an odd way, that also actually kind of made my task easier, because I'm someone who kind of likes being in charge of things, for better or worse. That's a characteristic of mine. I would learn that in caregiving, you're never really in charge, even if you'd like to think you are. But at least from a decision-making standpoint, it was on me. You know, it wasn't, we didn't have to have extensive committee meetings and consensus about what we were going to do next. It was really up to me, and my brothers were fully, and sisters-in-law were fully supportive of that. And so in an odd way, that actually made things easier too.
You know, let's talk about what it means to be a caregiver a bit here. What does it mean? What did you have to do? You had to do pretty much everything.
Yeah. I mean, the early years weren't that tough. You know, I would cook and clean and do the groceries, and I'd be with my mom at night and on the weekends. But during the workday, I could work. So it really wasn't that hard. I had a partner, now my wife, who was fully understanding of what I was trying to do. I had a lot of friend support. I think what you first learn, though, about caregiving, Larry, is that it's up to you. And so I might have my day planned out, but if my daytime caregiver was sick or her children were sick and couldn't, I would get calls at 7:30 in the morning saying, "Can't come in today, Dave." And then everything gets turned upside down. And so you learn pretty quickly that you can have your plan, but if things get upended, then it's all on you to figure that out, because nothing on your to-do list is as important as making sure that there's someone around to provide for your elderly mom. I think another thing that happens pretty quickly is you realize that sleep changes. You know, if you're a parent, you remember what it's like to get up early during the night with a young child. It's not quite as easy to do that when you're 60 and you're getting up. But, you know, my mom would need help in the bathroom. I think one of the things you learn about caregiving quite quickly is that it's an intimate physical act that includes helping someone get dressed, that helps someone get fed. That includes helping someone in the bathroom. And that becomes the norm over time. My mom and I would actually joke about it, but it's not necessarily what you imagine you'll be doing at that point in life. You don't quite imagine being 60 years old and sleeping in the same single bed you slept with when you were a kid. You know, you wake up in the middle of the night and think, How did this happen? How did I wake up at age 60 and I'm lying in the same childhood bed I slept in 50 years ago? How could this be true?
Same photos and so forth on the wall.
Absolutely. Nothing had changed. Nothing. That was what my daughter and my brother's children all loved about coming back to visit grandma. Nothing ever changed. But that gets challenging. You know, I liken it to a bit like having an alarm clock that goes off randomly at night, because we put in a bell next to my mom's bed so she could ring when she needed help. So I would stumble out of bed at 12 at night or 3 in the morning, and often 12, 3 and 4 in the morning. They became what I used to call three bell nights. And that takes its toll in time. As do the other challenges that arise over time, because while my mom was so sharp, in time, of course, that changed, and that cognitive change and the change in her ability to be who she wanted to be began to really be more of a challenge as well.
And challenges, and I like the line that you wrote, that was, "Today's challenges become the good old days."
Yeah.
Things change and things get, and they go, "Oh, how am I going to get through this?" But then you can think back, maybe even just a week later, and say, "Oh, that was the good old day."
Exactly. You are on a course, and it's a slope that goes only in one direction. And so you have to be nimble and adaptive and not be wed to whatever you think ought to be. That's one of the great challenges of caregiving. If you're someone like me who likes to plan and be organized and thinks I've got good ideas and I'm right about certain things, that largely goes out the window. It's incredibly humbling. in that way. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. You know, I sometimes say that caregiving is sort of like a heat-seeking missile, because it pierces your vulnerabilities and reveals them to you in sort of sharp detail. And it requires you, you know, Larry, to be kind of at your best. That's hard to sustain. And I was not at my best. I came unglued any number of times. If you told me I'd get angry or yell at my mom, get frustrated, I wouldn't have believed it. But that happened more than I'd like to acknowledge. And part of what I wanted to write in this book was to be honest about that, to be unvarnished about that, because you get it all. You get great joy sometimes, great rewards, but you get tears and anger too.
Yeah, you do. And you sort of wrapped yourself up with a kind of a new family, or new family members, let me put it that way, with, was it Eileen and Sinai were with you from pretty much start to finish?
Yeah, I was incredibly fortunate. And this is an important topic, I think, to discuss, Larry. So thank you for raising it. You know, I had it better than really almost any family caregiver I've known or know now, because I had the help that you describe. From day one, I had someone there who could be with my mom during the day so that I could continue to work. I had someone who, if I needed a night off or wanted to or had to leave for business purposes, I could. And those paid caregivers play such a significant role in not only my life, but in the lives of family caregivers everywhere. In the San Francisco Bay Area, they are largely Pacific Islander is the sort of backbone of the caregiving community, at least where I lived. All of the caregivers I had over the 10 years I was there were immigrant Americans. They were all women of color. And they all were people who came to this country with smarts and skill and a sort of deep cultural understanding that caring for the old is part of life's bargain. I learned so much from them, and I'm so grateful for all that they gave to me. And it is something I continue to be grateful for. We remain close, Sinai and Eileen, the ones you mentioned in particular. I'll see Sinai this weekend. And they taught me so much, they gave me so much, and we do not honor those people in our country nearly enough.
Dave Iverson, our guest today, his book is Winter Stars, An Elderly Mother, An Aging Son, and Life's Final Journey. A wonderful book, and I'm really pleased to be able to talk with him about it today. Kate Archer Kent joins me again here because we're in our spring member drive. We'll be going back to Dave in just a bit, but want to talk with you for a minute with Kate. You know, listener contribution is still the largest source of funding for our shows. Your gifts keep the programs you value, including this one, on the air. And I hope you'll make a contribution right now. You can do it by going to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
Oh, Larry, and today, right now, this group of generous members matching up to $50,000 of monthly gifts. So now, right now, is a really great time to become a sustainer or increase your ongoing monthly gift right now, and your first year of contributions will be matched.
It's their way of inspiring you to sustain the WPR news, talk, and music that we all rely on. So double your impact right now with your monthly gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Oh, Larry, I'm so deeply moved by this conversation on caregiving and the Winter Stars book. It's so valuable to hear, I think, the voices that you hear on public radio, but hearing the journey people go through, like in caregiving or something else, just hearing someone else's journey can be so enlightening. And, you know, that is what you can hear on the Larry Mueller Show and on the Ideas Network. This is that human voice is the essence of public radio. And WPR is listener-supported, listener-powered. And it means that when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you make the Larry Mueller Show possible and so many more programs possible. So choose an amount that works for you. Take just a few minutes and make your gift.
Yeah, and be sure to choose an amount that does work for you. And it could be $100 a month, might be $200 a month, might be $10 a month, whatever amount is the right amount for you.
And then, you know, maybe that's what you pay for cable or a family phone plan. Listening to WPR is something you do every day. So put a value on it, like other things that are important to you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I started donating quite a few years ago. I took the plunge. It was the first thing that I had ever done with the sustaining type of membership. It was painless, and so I've just continued. I trust Wisconsin Public Radio. I also trust them to use my money wisely. I'm Bea Liebel from Merrill, Wisconsin. I encourage you to join me in sustaining Wisconsin Public Radio.
Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. Larry Mueller here with Kate Archer Kent. Your support during our drive makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. And your gift, $10, $20 a month, whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
And perhaps you donated a few years ago and you feel like you've done your part. But, you know, here's the thing. It's your continued support that keeps WPR going.
And if it's been a while since you donated, this is a perfect time to renew. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Make that contribution, and we'll be glad to have you back.
Oh, yes, indeed. And right now, our sustaining match still in effect. This group of generous members matching up to $50,000 of monthly gifts. So become a sustainer or increase your ongoing monthly donation at this moment, and your first year of contributions will be matched. Double the impact of your sustaining gift now. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And don't forget to ask for a thank you gift when you give $10 or $20 a month. We've got everything from shirts to drinkware. And you'll be able to show off your WPR pride wherever you go. Here, look at what's available when you give. You can go to WPR.org to see that and also make your contribution. That's WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
Well, can I shout out here to Jonah in Duluth, Minnesota, says that they've been listening to WPR for the better part of 8 years, excited to not only support their favorite station, but to represent it every morning with a WPR coffee mug. And thank you, Jonah says, for all that you do. Special shout out to Larry Mueller and Jim Fleming. I love hearing that.
I do as well. And Jim Fleming's been around about as long as I've been around.
Yes, indeed. Institutions.
Jonah, thank you for that. Your gift right now is very powerful. Really makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And thank you. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Dave Iverson. His book is Winter Stars, An Elderly Mother, An Aging Son, and Life's Final Journey. You may have some questions or comments or maybe experiences to share. I hope you'll join in. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. And let's take a call. Dennis in Two Rivers, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, thanks, Larry. Hi, Dave. I just wondered if you and others have the same kind of situation with guided. When my parents were in hospice care, I would get, well, even when they were still living here at home, I would get things ready for a task in the apartment I lived in. Then I would call, and I'd end up putting things away, then scramble and take care of things for them. And now, even when I get things ready, it's like part of me is still expecting that call to come, even years after they've died. Just wondering about your comments, so hang up and listen.
All right. Thank you, Dennis. Dave, thoughts?
Yeah, thank you, Dennis, for the call. I think that, you know, when you have the experience of caring for a parent, it stays with you. The first title, working title for my book was actually Still Here, because I felt like my mom was perpetually still here. So I understand, I think, the feelings that you have. I think especially if you've been engaged with that, it's something that does stay with you. I think the good part of that, at least for me, is it gives me a real sense of how someone's impact on you continues to live on. My mom is still a presence in my life, and I think in the presence of the rest of our family as well. So while that can pull at you, I'm grateful for the opportunity that I at least had. And in the way, you know, that my mom's presence lives on and the impact that she had with our caregivers who were there with her too. We still talk about my mom, and that gift of being able to continue those conversations with those who knew her so well has actually been helpful to me. So my hope, Dennis, I guess, is that you have that kind of experience as well.
And you, I think, learned a lot from watching people like Eileen and Sinai and their loving commitment to, I guess, their job, but it was to your mom.
Absolutely. I think for them, it was a real calling, Larry. And that's part of why I feel so strongly that we must do more to support those who provide that work. They had the ability, and my mom was not always an easy personality to, you know, she was, you know, cranky or unhappy or upset, to just ride with that much more honestly than I did for a long time. And they had real skill. I mean, I think this is sometimes overlooked. It's not only, although this is deeply important, to be compassionate and warm and loving. They also had real skill. And the example I often use about this is skin. And by that, I mean, if you've been around someone who's elderly and largely bedridden or visited people in an assisted living facility, it's rare that someone's skin remains really good. My mom's skin was beautiful almost until the day she died. That doesn't happen unless you have extraordinary care. Bed sores are excruciatingly painful and really compromise the quality of someone's life. And so we need to recognize that not only is elder care a question of being loving and warm, but it's also a question of skill. And so when people say we need to have immigrants who come to this country have skills, absolutely. But those aren't just Silicon Valley skills. Those are the kinds of skills that it takes to care for someone in need. We need those skills desperately in this country. Someone turns 65 in the United States every 8 seconds. That means by the end of this hour that we're spending together, Larry, there will be another 765-year-olds in the United States of America. We are not ready for that. We need those skills. We need to honor them. And yet, according to the Brookings Institution in 2019, the average home care worker made $12 an hour. That's not enough. I could do better than that because we had resources. My folks had bought a home in a very prosperous area in 1950 for only $15,000. 60 years later, it was worth just a bit more than that. And we could borrow against that to provide that care. But we don't have a national elder care plan in this country. You know, we don't. And we have to do better than just saying, well, make sure that your parents bought a home in 1950 for $15,000 and then you'll be just fine. We need to do better than that. And we need to do much better by those who provide care for our oldest citizens.
Yeah, that is for sure. And yet, even at $15 an hour, $20 an hour, the costs add up. I mean, it is, and this whole business of dealing with costs, you kind of talked about, you were able to kind of borrow against your home, but not everybody's in that position for sure.
Exactly. By the end of my mom's life, when we needed 24/7 care, when I could no longer do all that was needed to be done, and I, you know, just felt like I can be here a couple of nights a week. I can't be here every night. By the time we needed that sort of care, and I was just there two nights a week, parts of 4 days, Eileen and Sinai, we added in more. By the end of my mom's life, we were spending $14,000 a month. And that was in 2017, Larry, 5 years ago. So, you know, and that's because we chose and we had the ability to pay people what they were worth. But we need to open our eyes about this. You know, in the first months of the pandemic, hundreds of thousands of Americans, 200,000 Americans died in nursing homes and assisted living facilities during the pandemic. That's not because those facilities are all bad. There are many of them that are good, but we need to think much harder about the kind of care our oldest Americans deserve and what we can do to provide them.
Dave Iverson, our guest, and he's going to be with us after our news break, by the way, as well, to talk about his book, Winter Stars, An Elderly Mother, An Aging Son, and Life's Final Journey. It's a pleasure to be able to talk with him, and there's a lot more that I want to get into, especially end-of-life decisions and heroic measures and that sort of thing, because Dave has some really interesting things to say about that in his book, and I know you're going to want to hear what he's got to say. We are in our Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Member Drive. Our goal is to keep bringing you topics like this one to the show, and in all of our shows, we really try to come forth with program topics that you are going to find useful, you're going to enjoy. And your support makes all that happen because listener support's our largest source of funding for our shows. So I hope you'll give now. Kate Archer Kent back with me. Any amount makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And today, now is really the key here. Support the programs you rely on, and your gift is going to go twice as far. So become a WPR sustainer or increase your ongoing monthly support. And this group of generous members will match your first year of contributions.
So you can double your impact right now. Join in with your new or increased monthly contribution if you've already been a regular contributor at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Oh, Larry, this is such a touching, moving conversation. And I think, you know, if I were driving, this would be a driveway moment. I wouldn't want to miss a moment of it on caregiving. And I just want to say that this is the power of public radio. This is what causes us to think and to react to fellow humanity going through something like this with caregiving. And you know what? It's listener members who make this all possible. It really means that we can continue bringing conversations like this one that are so meaningful, so important to have. And that means that when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you make the Larry Mueller Show and so many more programs possible. So choose an amount that works for you. Take this few minutes and make your gift.
And if you make a gift of $10 or $20, you might want to also select one of our gifts. I know there are even WPR socks, which I don't have a pair. And Jill, I thought, was going to give me one for Christmas last year, but she didn't. Anyway, you can get a pair of those even as we talk here with your gift of $10 a month or more, actually, at WPR.org or at 888 888- 202-2552.
I listen to Wisconsin Public Radio because it's one of the best mixes that I can find of both highly entertaining and highly useful and informative information. Wisconsin Public Radio really has a great variety in the type of programs they put on. It's very difficult to get bored of listening to WPR. I only used to listen to public radio in the car. I've recently started listening to public radio on online streaming. The variety and quality of the broadcasts are really enough to keep someone, you know, tuning back in for more time and time again. I'm Ben Martin from Minnesota, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for variety and entertainment.
Well, Ben, thank you very much. What about you? Go to WPR right now or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you count on. Larry Mueller with Kate Archer Kent, your support today of Wisconsin Public Radio keeps all the programs you enjoy going strong, and maybe your contribution is $10 a month, maybe it's $100 a month. We appreciate and we count on your gift.
And today, this group of generous members matching up to $50,000 of monthly gifts. So become a sustainer or increase your ongoing monthly gift right now, and your first year of contributions will be matched.
Pretty cool and generous members. You know, it's their way of inspiring you to sustain this programming, mm-hmm. the news, the talk, the music you rely on. So you can double the impact of your monthly gift right now. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
Well, I just want to say I've got this really lovely message from Joyce in Schofield, who says, this station is always on when I'm in the car. And Mike in Palatine, Illinois, says, I'm donating because I'm moving to Wisconsin this summer, and I've always listened to WPR whenever I'm in this area.
Very nice. Thanks, Mike, and thank you, Joyce. And what about you? Your gift right now is so important at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. We're going to take a break for a look at the news, but then we'll be back with Dave Iverson and really talk some more about the ins and outs of home care for the elderly. That'll be right after this look at the news. In the meantime, WPR.org, that's the place to go to make your contribution. Being a caregiver for a family member is both a physical and an emotional journey. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us today. And our guest has written a new book about the journey he went on with his mother. Dave Iverson, writer, documentary film producer, director, retired broadcast journalist. Wonderful to have him with us to talk about his book, Winter Stars, An Elderly Mother, An Aging Son, and Life's Final Journey. And we'd like to hear about your caregiving experience as well. You could become a part of our conversation. Just give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Or email us to ideas@WPR.org. ideas@WPR.org. We'd love to hear from you. Those last 10 years, the as they progressed, your mom obviously changed both physically and mentally. And was it, how did you change over that time?
Yeah, one of the things that happened, I think, over time, Larry, as I alluded to, I guess, before, is that some of the things that I always had valued, like, let's say, the importance of facts, change. Because if you're living with someone who has progressive cognitive decline, has dementia, then you have to learn to not be concerned about correcting someone to say, well, no, mom, that's not true. Or to say, oh, well, mom, don't you remember? Those aren't really very useful. And it took me a long time to figure that out, to understand that someone may be experiencing reality in really a different way. Small example, one day I came home and my mom said, well, you know, I was left in the bathroom for hours and hours. And I knew that really couldn't be right, but I didn't know what had happened. And I wound up talking to our daytime caregiver and who said, you know, David, I took your mom into the bathroom, helped her in to sit on the toilet, and came back a few minutes later and she'd fallen asleep. And so I let her rest and then I woke her up and she was a little startled, but that's what happened. And at first I thought, mom, but really what that, if you think about it another way, to her, it must have felt like she had been left for hours and hours. She didn't know what had happened. All of a sudden someone woke her up and she thought, I've been left alone. And so you have to, in time, learn to hear the truth of the story that lies beneath the words. Yeah. That took me a long time to understand, but I think if we can do that, if we can be present to who that person is, not who they once were, but who they are, that can make a huge difference.
Let's take a call. Gianni in Montello, thank you for calling. Appreciate your call.
Yes, Larry. I was a caregiver for 16 years. I had to quit my teaching job and take care of my mother, who developed hydrocephalus. She was shunted twice. She died in 2015. This whole odyssey started in 2006. Parallel to my mother, I took care of my father up until January. Late January, he passed away, so I'm free of this burden. But it was 16 years, Larry, of 16 years of round-the-clock care, making transfers, toileting, feeding, showering. I could only do that twice a week. I ran out of time. But it was a very, very sobering experience. And I never expected it, but I've completed it now. But I think I saved the American taxpayer about $2 million over the last 16 years. If my parents had become wards of the state and gone into a nursing home, maybe it would be $10,000, $11,000 a month for their needs. But I guess the question I have is, this is more rhetorical, where's my government handout? I saved the government a lot of money, but who takes care of me?
Yeah. Dave, what do you think?
Well, I understand the point and the concern, and I think it is sobering to realize what those costs are and that we live in a time where people largely have to fend for themselves. You know, people think, well, doesn't Medicare take care of that? It does not. As our caller suggested, the government help that is available is if you no longer have resources, the Medicaid program for lower income Americans can provide help. But that's largely in institutionalized situations, larger home care, assisted living facilities, not home care. That's why we need more programs. The Build Back Better program that was before Congress late last year would have made a real difference in this regard. And so I think it's incumbent upon all of us as citizens in this country, if we feel like we need to make changes, to advocate for those changes and to recognize that our oldest citizens deserve loving, safe care. And we have a long ways to go in our society before that becomes the norm.
Mm. Gianni, thank you so much. And thanks for your service to your parents as well. You provided something that was wonderful for them. And I'm sure they appreciate it. Bernadette in Milwaukee, it's your turn. Bernadette, thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry, thank you for taking my call. This is a wonderful conversation that I wish we could have more often in society. I am now 61 years old and am looking back at both caretaking two parents that who got ill in their mid-70s, and I was then in my late 40s raising a family, working full-time on a career with a boss who had increasing expectations of me and stretch goals, and having to face the inevitable with caretaking of parents. I enjoyed the guest's comments about sleeping in a bed. I, too, slept in a twin bed when my mother ended up calling me from the other bathroom, from the other bedroom to be toileted. The caretaking role is so difficult because you know that where it's going to end, and it's that slow downward trajectory with very little support emotionally, psychologically, and mentally, physically, and financially of the caretakers. I look back now, my father is gone. He died in 2015. My mother is 90 now and is in a care home. Since COVID and since the decline of our staffing, I have to now be here every day to make sure she eats and she doesn't lose any more weight as a frail now end-of-lifer. But I look back to those caretaking days and I feel traumatized. And I still am not recovered from what it took to have to shepherd these lovely, wonderful parents to end of life and the emotional guilt associated with that. And they give to me, I have to give back the family dynamics of having four siblings and only one or two step up and the others missing in action. There's so much to be said in this space. And it would be great if we had even support groups to talk about this and lean into the pain. But often we're left alone. I worry for the boomers, the baby boomers. It's going to be a tsunami, and there's nobody to take care of us. So I guess that's all I had to say. I honor the topic, and I honor the suffering and the pain associated with this end-of-life story.
Mm-hmm. Bernadette, thank you very much for calling. She raised a number of points there that you've had to address, that you address in your book and have certainly lived through.
Yeah, I hear what Bernadette was saying too. And I think one of the things we need to try to work at in this country is to make sure that people know they're not alone in this experience, as she so clearly felt and our previous caller did as well. It's an interesting thing, Larry, when you think about it. The AARP estimates that we have about 50 million family caregivers in the United States, mostly caring for the aged. 50 million, and yet we feel alone. I mean, yeah. What does that tell you? It means that this is a very common experience, and yet we're so isolated. It makes an enormous difference. And again, I was so fortunate to have Sanaa and Eileen and others and supportive extended family to not feel alone. And I would encourage anyone who is listening and who knows someone who is in the role that Bernadette was just describing to reach out to that person and to do more. We all tend to say this, well, if there's anything you need, let me know. But instead to be specific, to say, Bernadette, I'd like to bring you dinner tonight. Bernadette, can I stop by and get groceries for you? If we can be more concrete in the way in which we reach out to others, that in and of itself, I think can help bridge the divide and make us feel more like this is a community effort, because that's what we need.
Bernadette, thank you again. And Kari, a comment from you?
Oh, hi. I'm going to echo that same sentiment about the loneliness of being a caregiver. I cared for my mother for a number of years. She had progressive dementia. And I unfortunately did not have strong sibling support. And did not have external caregiver support. And even when requested, you were just talking about the need for requesting specific types of things. I think respite's really important. And being able to, for example, leave town for a weekend and know that your loved one is going to be cared for adequately so you don't have to worry while you're gone. And I know you mentioned the whole issue about skin, skincare. I had an episode where I had made arrangements to leave town with my family. I still had children in the home. And had asked extended family members to be sure to do adequate hygiene care while we were gone, and unfortunately it did not happen. Oh. And I came home to mom that had a serious UTI and shingles and had to be hospitalized.
Oh, man. I feel so sad for you on that. Dave, any words of encouragement or...
Well, I think what we're hearing, Larry, are you know, voices of hurt and pain, and I think we need to hear them. I think we need to respond to that. It can be such a lonely, overwhelming kind of experience. Again, I was so very fortunate, and I guess the only thing I would offer in terms of something to look for is that if we can provide that, being a caregiver also gives you the opportunity to complete a kind of journey. You know, my mom and I were always really, really close, but we had our moments during that 10 years of anger and frustration and difficulty and challenge, but we kept on, you know, and in the end, we arrived at a place of great closeness together. As mother and son. And I think there is also, and I do want to say this, that for all the challenges, there can also be great opportunity, great closeness, great warmth, great affection. And I will be grateful for that experience, but we sure need to hear the voices of the callers we've heard from as well, so that those experiences of loneliness can be lifted up. So that we all experience end of life as a point of meaning and comfort.
And your book, you know, my mother went through Alzheimer's, and my sister was the primary care giver for her, but, you know, I provided help, but nothing to the extent of hers. And as I read your book, as a bit of a caregiver, I thought... you know, it's really good to read this book, even after I've been through this process. I'm going to make sure my sister gets a chance to read through it, because there, as you were talking, there are some life-affirming things in this book, and information too. And unfortunately, not going to have time to talk about the. Quality of life, heroic measures, what is a heroic measure, as you saw. I mean, you really raised my eyebrows went up as I was reading that. I hadn't thought about it the way you write about it so eloquently in your book. And I want to thank you so much for taking time to be with us today, Dave. It's been a real honor and pleasure to have you here. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Larry. It's a great pleasure to be with you again and to join our Wisconsin community once more. Thank you.
Dave Iverson, his book is Winter Stars, An Elderly Mother, An Aging Son, and Life's Final Journey. And no matter whether you've been a caregiver or not, especially if you haven't been, this is going to be a wonderful book for you to take a look at, for sure. And I think it's kind of part of the thing that we try to do here at Wisconsin Public Radio, provide thought-provoking information and topics that you can value and benefit from. It's all part of Wisconsin Public Radio, and here we are in our drive, our spring drive. And I want you to know how important it is for listener contributions. They're the biggest source of funding for our shows. Your gift keeps programs like this one, ones you value, on the air. And Kate Archer-Kentback with me. Want to make your contribution now? Now would be a good time. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make that contribution.
Oh, yes, Larry. And today, support the programs you rely on, and your gift will go twice as far. So you can become a WPR sustainer, or go ahead and increase your ongoing monthly support. And this group of generous members will match the first year of contributions.
I love this. You can double your impact, join in with your new or increased monthly contribution. It could be either new or if you've already got one, you can increase it a bit and it will double it for this year. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
Oh, the Larry Mueller Show. It is just, you know, Larry, just chock full of great, great topics and conversations with guests, you know, everything from this caregiving conversation to topics like environmental and consumer issues, gardening, of course, how to. This is where it's at. You know, we put Wisconsin first, from the authors and the books to the food to the history to the sports. You get so much great advice on topics that impact all of our lives in our community. And this is great radio. It's possible because of your financial support of Wisconsin Public Radio. So support the Larry Mueller Show, all the other programs you enjoy in the Ideas Network with your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, I have a really good friend, Kate, who tells me that she got the stainless steel water bottle, the WPR one. She
yes.
says it's the best one she's ever had. It's with her every single day. And you know what? Those bottles are still out there. You can get one. You can support the programs you value. And you can ask for your WPR stainless steel water bottle. Ask for yours with your gift of, I think it's $20 a month or more at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
That's what we're here for, learning, hydration, refreshment. WPR has this reputation for quality and for substance, and your contributions in the past have gotten us to where we are today. Your gift today will take this kind of strength into the future.
Your gifts and your dollars give Wisconsin Public Radio the means to keep that quality and that substance you count on in our programs every day. So give now. If you haven't done it, do it right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And maybe you've never given to WPR before. So today you can find out how it feels.
And it does feel great because you'll be supporting something you love, something you use, and something you rely on every day. And because the largest source of funding for WPR comes from listeners like you, you can know that your donations truly make a difference. So make your first ever gift of $100, let's say, or make it $10 a month, or whatever amount that's right for you. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make that contribution.
At Wisconsin Public Radio, we ask you to decide how much to give. And no matter what you choose, you get 24 hours a day of news, talk, music, and entertainment in return. That's a great deal. Where do you wish you could get that kind of deal?
Just about anywhere. My education, a vacation, or anything really I could think about spending, I wish I could choose to pay.
Oh, beer?
A great Italian meal.
During this pledge drive, we ask you to contribute as generously as you can. And, unlike with other things, you'll always be the one to decide how much to give.
And how much to give, that's up to you. And here we are coming into the end of the program here. Kate Archer-Kent and I want to be sure that if you haven't done it yet, you do it right now. Give at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make that contribution.
That is indeed. I want to just jump in here and say Heidi in Santa Rosa Beach, Florida is listening to you, Larry. How about that?
Heidi, welcome.
How about them apples?
Thanks for listening, Heidi.
And Brian in Madison says that they appreciate the fine work being done at Wisconsin Public Radio. And we just love hearing from Heidi in Florida and Brian in Madison. What a community.
Your gift right now, so important at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Love to have you listening in today and would love to have you contribute. Again, go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Thank you so much for listening. Please stay with us. Lots in store.